You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network.
What it is? You welcome to Fresh Take, the Rundown Part 2. It's time to talk to Joel Johnson about the Boys finale, Stranger Things finale. Let's go into it with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
It's going all right. How's it going?
It's going good. We have finales all over the place. Stranger Things, The Boys. We just both finished The Boys. Let's talk about that. It is fresh in our minds. It ended a little bit more perfectly than I thought it would in some ways. Like, I don't even know the right word. Like, it wasn't as dramatic as a finale as I thought it would be. I guess I'll start with that.
Yeah, it felt like it was not so much a finale, but a precursor to what's coming next year. Mm-hmm. Really, it didn't feel like so much like this was a grand finale and you're left at a cliffhanger. You know where things are going now, and the puzzle pieces are set. Because I really think this show probably has probably 1 to 2 seasons more.
And then I know they have one more for sure coming.
So I feel like we're at a point where they were like, let's set up the puzzle pieces more. The new VP, that was something from the comics. That's something I saw coming. And I was like, okay, this is going to be who they're going to be chasing after. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they neuter her powers. But yeah, the finale itself felt like this was just getting puzzle pieces in place for what was coming next.
And they didn't kill Soldier Boy.
Nope.
Off. Some people thought they may, because they've had this big bad, like, you know, a Stormfront. They killed her off, right? So people were worried maybe Soldier Boy would be dead. But Jason Eichels has done such a good job. I don't really think you could kill him off. I guess the question is he still powered?
Yeah, he is still powered, because
that's why they locked him down, right?
Yeah, because how they locked him down suggests to me he's still fully powered.
And yeah, now we have Maeve is alive. I thought Maeve was dead.
Yeah, I did too.
And you and I, you know, talking off air, and I think even talking on this podcast at one point, we both were like, Maeve is definitely dying. That is for sure. And they decided to keep her alive.
Yeah, and let her ride off into the sunset quietly.
Yeah, I mean, it could get to a point where things get really bad and she needs the V up.
Which is entirely possible. And you know that Butcher's on a ticking clock now, too.
So I thought Butcher would just take regular V and become a hero, like a superhero. It'd be his worst nightmare.
I think he's just like, well, I've got to, I think he's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think Butcher's been ready to go since Becca died. Mm-hmm. So I think he has been like, let's just go with it. And now with the state that Ryan's probably going to be in moving forward, and that was probably the best part about the finale, was now Homelander has someone that loves him and accepts him. And you saw that there's a reason why that was the last shot we saw heading into season 4, was that shot of Ryan smiling. That was a great, great way to end it, because you saw Homelander get scared that he thought, oh, they're going to turn on me. And of course it is the
stepdad.
And also I believe he's the guy in the Lotto Max commercials here in Canada.
Oh, you're right.
So I believe that's the Lotto Max guy that started cheering. So every time I see him, I'm gonna be like, yeah, cheered for Homelander.
Mm-hmm.
They did a really good job with this finale. Like, they did a really, really good job. Just like everything just felt natural. Like, even when Soldier Boy was like, you're a pussy, I was like, yeah, no, that makes sense, because Homelander, the way Homelander emotionally is, it's such an up and down roller coaster that it makes sense that Soldier Boy was like, yeah, no, I have no use for you.
I like the mother's milk got in the final shot. I was happy for him for that. I think you're a lot more attached to some of the characters. Like when Maeve, when the gas came, for some reason, I thought for Maeve, I thought they were poison gassing her. I'm like, you can't let Maeve go out like that. And then obviously they were just transporting her out. And then when I thought Maeve died again, I was happy the way it goes. This show this year took us a lot of different ways. I think a lot of us thought the season was going to end with Homelander depowered, right? But this show, the one thing that does, I guess, comparable to the comics is it has definitely had a reflection of modern society now. And yeah. I think that last scene, and you can like this comment or not, I don't really care, but it kind of showed him being Trump, right? And doing the most despicable acts, and his fan base is not going to care. They're fully behind him.
It goes back to Trump's line when he was talking, when I believe he ran for office, that he could shoot someone down Main Street and you people would cheer for me still. And I started cheering when he said it. So it still rings very true. And I think there's a lot of real life things being taken into account for the Boys. The Boys have absolutely lapped the comics several times over.
They've just left Disney Plus shows. Not to take a shot of the Disney Plus shows, but like, it's just you. I look at a show like Moon Knight, right, which was a fun show, but there is a certain level that Moon Knight in the comics can go over, right, and that the Disney Plus shows have the restrictions to, right, and that this show doesn't have to worry about those restrictions because Amazon lets them do whatever they want.
Yeah, and we've seen it, and I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know if I would compare the Boys to me are in the realm of like Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. I don't look at any of the MCU shows, anything on Disney Plus, really, in terms of original content shows in that sphere. That's a very elite sphere of television that we have, and the Boys are definitely in that. It's going to be really interesting to see where they go next, because we are starting to wind down to the end game. We're getting
go ahead, Joe.
We're getting dangerously close to the end. Black Noir's death. I don't know if that was. I feel like they had Black Noir. They knew what he was from the comic books, and they decided not to go that route. And I felt like they're like, we don't really know what to do with Black Noir. And like, I felt like Black Noir's death was just kind of, that was maybe the knock against this episode, was Black Noir's death, where it was just kind of like
sudden.
It was very sudden and just like, but it also made sense because Homeland is going to be like, see, look, I killed the one guy you wanted dead. And I probably would have liked a little bit more of a fight.
But yeah, I kind of wanted that Soldier Boy Black Noir setup too, just because of the big setup we had the last episode with the animated characters and everything like that, right? And I thought that was a good way of storytelling with everything. But like, you brought up the great point there, Joel, of this always goes to the manipulation that a Homelander has. I mean, I kind of look at it, what we just saw from Obi-Wan, right? The biggest weakness that Vader has is his emotional sense, right? We've seen in Star Wars, the biggest thing for Vader is Ahsoka, Obi-Wan, and Luke. That's kind of his weakness, right? His Padawan, his master, and his son. That's his biggest weakness. And we're seeing kind of the same in Homelander, where it's a superior being with great power, but the emotional side is the thing that drags him down.
Yeah. And like, Homelander is definitely like the character that they've created on the TV show. Like, he's highly entertaining in just the sense that, like you said, it is like it is a lot like Vader. It's a very powerful being, maybe the most powerful being in the planet. And he is emotionally like a hairpin away from snapping. And now you've got to wonder what type of debauchery Ryan's going to get up to. How much are they going to let him go and do things? And how is that going to impact Butcher? Because Butcher's absolutely scorched earth now. And what does that mean? What happens between him and Ryan? because that's going to be, and what's going to happen with Ryan and Homeland?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Ryan's at an impasse too, right? I mean, he is looking for something too, right? His mom is gone. Butcher kind of turned his back on him, right? I don't think Ryan even cares that much about Homelander saving him during the Soldier Boy almost blow up, because I don't think Ryan really understood the situation that was going on.
No, I don't think so at all. And like that definitely, like, all Ryan saw was like, and Ryan's still very much hurt from what Butcher did to him at the start. Had Butcher not done even half the things he did at the start when he was starting to take the temp V, I think we would have seen a different interaction. But ultimately, this is where, and Butcher's to blame for where we are now with everyone. So Butcher's put them in a spot where we're marching towards now Ryan working with Homelander, and how is that going to play out? How close are we to the finale? Because I don't think season 4 will be the end.
I don't think so, but I mean, it's also what's up with the 7, right? Because we have 4 missing spots now, right? There's 4 missing spots on the 7. It's just Homelander, A-Train, and the Deep. And I don't know where the Deep's direction is going to go. Obviously, he just killed the vice president, so he's still loyal to Homelander, right? And he's got the whole thing now with his ex-wife, giving that expose piece. A-Train, we keep on thinking he's going to do the right thing, and he doesn't. So I don't really know what to think about A-Train yet.
I don't think I don't know what the overarching thing will be with A-Train, but I think he's very much going to be one of those people that are just going to be kept under Homelander's thumb. And Homelander said it, is like, none of you are family. I don't care about any of you. So I think that is something that will play out down the line. And I think they'll probably pad out the 7. They'll probably give a spot to Ryan.
Yeah, I was thinking they give a spot to Ryan, and then I'm sure there's other, you know, candidates, you know, some random people that they'll just fill in with in the next season.
And much like down in the States, they're going to find, it'll be like Trump. It'll be finding, glad-handing yes men. Yes, that will, yeah, that'll do whatever he says. That's what they'll add to it. And then Homelander having the VP is probably the scariest thing, because that's going to be the hardest person to kill for the boys. And that's most
in the comics, is she stay VP or does she eventually become president? And I think it's a male character that portrays in the comics, is it not?
Yeah. And Vic the Veep is not a bright bulb. So
Newman is.
This Newman is very scary.
Yeah. I think the president is gonna get his head popped at some point, just mysteriously.
Yeah, he's gonna die, and then it's gonna be like, yeah, and Vic the Veep does eventually become president. So that's probably what happens.
It's interesting with her too, with Newman, because, you know, we know she has the power to kill Starlight because she gave her that kind of warning shot nosebleed, right? I wonder if she has the power to kill Homelander.
Well, in the comics, Vic the Veep is killed by Homelander when Homelander storms the White House. So now you got to wonder what the trajectory of Homelander is. Like, that was one of the things I was wondering, if they were going to end with Homelander announcing he wants to run for president.
Right.
And we were going to get that. But now it's just about being in charge of Vought. And I wonder if we see the return of Stan Edgar next year.
Yeah, I don't think he's gone too far. I mean, obviously, something with Maeve and her going away and Ashley deleting that file, somehow that's going to come back next year with everything there and Ashley trying to protect. I don't know if that was more of trying to protect Maeve or trying to protect this public image that she's trying to build of Maeve and the money off of it. Maybe it's a little bit of both.
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's a bit of both. I think I also think that having her wig taken off, I think that kind of, she knows that if Homelander sees that, knows where Homelander is going.
Yeah, I mean, you've got
a really good shot into Homelander too with the pipe in the air.
It's, I mean, I think the one thing we saw in this, I mean, it's the manipulation this show has, right? Like, there is that brief moment, as much as Homelander has been a piece of shit this year, when he's over Ryan during the fight with Soldier Boy and he has like, Maeve, not now. There is a brief part of you who's like, yeah, Maeve, not now. The kid's hurt. It's like, holy shit. Kripke, you son of a bitch. You made me actually care about Homelander for 2 minutes, very briefly, and forgetting that he's a piece of shit.
They do a very good job of that, but it's, yeah, they do a very good job of just being like, oh yeah, no, there is a side of Homelander, but ultimately all the stuff Homelander has done, you're like, yeah, no, he needs to go.
And then we also saw the form of the boys in the new building there. Whatever. So, I missed it, Joel. I did Kimiko get her powers back, or did she not get her powers back?
Yeah, she did. She got the V.
Okay, I couldn't remember if she did or not. So Kimiko, so they have two superpowered humans within the boys organization. I guess Butcher could still use a temp V if he wants to. I guess at this point, there's no point not to.
Yeah.
And then Huey, obviously, that was a good scene with Huey deciding if he was going to do it or not. And then, you know, avoiding Faye. I still want to be shocked if we see Huey use it again. Yeah, I think so. And I think one of the best arcs in this season was Mother's Milk, of really finding his own identity.
And I think having that conversation with his daughter was very important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they came into their own, and even Frenchie kind of started to come into his own, where it's their roles that they were kind of placed in is starting to evolve, and now you're going to see what things are like, because they're all still working together. And I haven't, the one nice thing is we have an idea on what happened in the comics, but we have no idea how the rest of this is going to play out moving forward.
Yeah. I know at the end of the comics, Starlight and Huey go to like an island by themselves and kind of get away from everything.
Yeah. Cause everyone in the boys is dead. I believe Huey kills Butcher. I don't know who kills Homelander. Maybe it is Black Noir. Black Noir in the comics was actually a clone of Homelander, like verbatim, but he couldn't speak.
Yeah.
So I have no idea who's killing who.
Yeah, they changed that this time. But I mean, what a tremendous job this season. Just, this may be one of their best seasons that they've had, because I think this, like other seasons, there's been, you know, gruesome stuff and all that, but this really felt like the first season where Amazon's like, this is where our butter is bread, this is our apex show until this Lord of the Rings show comes that we spent $1 billion on. Let them fly free, literally let them do whatever they want to do.
It's worked. I think this season was a success, and you just let them keep going. You let them, they've got a really good writing team. They've done a fantastic job. You just keep rolling with it.
Yeah.
Oh, Butcher's the one that kills Black Noir in the comics.
Who kills Homelander then?
I actually don't know. Noir kills Homelander.
Okay. And then Butcher kills Noir.
Yeah.
And then Huey kills Butcher.
Yes. Lots of death.
Lots of death. I think five seems like a right amount, but I could see season six coming. Obviously, there's going to be spinoffs as well as coming two. I don't know when we'll get, I mean, there's no, you know, I don't think we're worried as much about shoots with COVID, although numbers are up for COVID right now. But I don't think that's affecting shoots as much anymore, right? I think it's kind of full steam ahead. And if they have to do safety measures for COVID and whatnot, then they'll do those measures. So I'm assuming they'll start filming sometime early next year, and we'll, I mean, it seems the summertime is normally when we do get it.
Yeah, this is a good time as any for it. So I look forward to next year when we get the boys.
Yeah, it did. It was great this year. And Anthony Starr, man, this was, I think he's been good, but this was the big breakout kind of season, I think, for Anthony Starr.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's funny because it comes off the heels of probably what should be some jail time.
Yeah, being actual Homelander.
Yeah, being actual Homelander.
But he was in Brazil today with everybody. They were at some, went to a football match there. And there's a big wall mural of the boys that Eric Kripke and everyone was at. So seems like, I mean, it does seem like a very tight crew, I will say.
Oh yeah, they seem to be getting along really well. So I no major deaths really for any of the main characters for the boys. So everyone's still alive, marching into season four, and we'll see if anyone bites the bullet next season.
Would you give this season?
Oh, I'd give it like an 8.5.
Yeah, I got it at a 9.
Yeah, you could, as time goes on, you could definitely talk me into a 9.
I think they just did a really good job setting. I mean, it sucks with the villain sometimes. Like I wish Stormfront wasn't dead. And I'm not going to lie, Joel, when there was that being floating down, I thought that was him. We had seen a Homelander. I thought for 2 seconds, I'm like, did they clone Stormfront?
That'd be pretty cool. And you saw a Stormfront sign still there. Mm-hmm. So.
It's very much like a Trump rally, and you and your analogy there with the shooting anybody was perfect. And as soon as he shot the guy's head off, I'm like, yeah, okay. So now we're officially in the parallel now, and the boys is doing the situation just like the Orville. I talked at the top of the pod. The Orville is doing this now too, taking real life situations and bridging them into the type of the show for the commentary on that. If you don't like it, don't watch it. And in this, it's very much a Starlight in some ways is kind of Hillary in the comparison side of things, right? And Homelander is obviously Trump because he can literally kill. And I think for Homelander too, now he has his son and he can literally be himself. So Homelander is having the adulation of people that he wants to have, and he has his son by him. This has got to be one of the happiest times for him right now. And he's not surrounding himself with the negative people in him aren't really around, because obviously the Deep is going to be right by his side. We saw that painting that the Deep did. And obviously, like we mentioned, he killed the VP. So the Deep is his number one minion really at this point as well.
Oh yeah. I am surprised Homelander didn't sleep with the Deep's wife.
Yeah. That seemed again, that theory was there for everybody. Everyone thought that was going to happen.
I was like, oh, this is just, they're just going to be running a hit piece on the Deep now, which is also funny because the Deep sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll kind of, I don't know. The Deep kind of felt like a little bit lost this season. They really fascinated on this octopus thing. But I mean, at the end of the day, no one's here to shame anything. I mean, technically the Deep is a fish, right?
Well, so, see, the thing with the Deep is he was a side piece. Mm-hmm. He was a side character. He's more or less been relegated to a comic character. You get a few laughs. He does Homelander's bidding. Because the thing is, you have so many characters, you can't give everyone a shine. And yeah. Deep and A-Train definitely, like, I would go, A-Train had a step above the Deep in terms of story. Yeah. But he was still definitely one of the step below characters this year. I'm curious to see if they elevate anyone, or if these two get used more, and how, if they eventually turn on Homelander in some way.
Well, A-Train, even if he went to the boys, they can't trust him. Annie specifically, right? Like, why would she trust him? He's backstabbed her once in a big way. They got, what's the hero that got killed? Supersonic.
Oh,
Supersonic, yeah. Killed. And obviously Huey is never going to forgive him.
Oh yeah, like there's he's kind of stuck now with just working with the boys.
So yeah, it's these good shows, they just fly by. Like, I know we're gonna talk about this right now. Like Saul, Joel, it's back this Monday, but like that flew by really, really quick. And then these boys, like when I heard it was the finale this week, I'm like, what? It's already done.
It zipped by.
Mm-hmm. It really did. It's, like it went because we got two episodes off the hop, right? So really only had six.
Yeah. You really, it just burned through stuff.
Yeah. Saul, just a kind of minor prediction of what's to come.
I have no earthly idea. It's gonna be fantastic though. It's gonna be the best bit of television that we will see.
I think we got a few tens coming.
Oh, I think that finale is going to definitely be. Oh, I'm so excited.
Monday will be a fun day of television, just to kind of at the standstill where we're at. And kind of like, you know, the boys and Barry and now back to Saul, like these are shows that it's just like, they're just at such an apex right now of storytelling and whatnot that it's exciting to have it back. So we'll see what happens there. Before you go, Stranger Things ended its season now. You know, a fun season. I think the ending left a little bit to be desired in some ways. I didn't realize this, Joel. You and I talked off air about it. Man, Eddie was so beloved. I wasn't huge in Eddie. I thought he was fine, but man, is he loved right now.
Oh yeah. He was very, 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 very popular. Mm-hmm. And there is a theory that we could see him back in season 5.
Yeah. So is that because of my theory?
What was your theory again?
So my theory, and maybe I've been watching too much Westworld with taking people over and whatnot, but I think, you know, one Vecna, whatever you want to call him, but Vecna or the Mind Flayer, like, by the way, are the Mind Flayer is different than Vecna. They don't have control on each other, right? Vecna just went to the Upside Down and Vecna's separate from him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but they're kind of working together.
Yeah, they're working together. The Mind Flayer is what Vecna saw when he first
saw. Yeah, I thought so. I wonder if the Mind Flayer or Vecna are going to use those bodies, right? A Barb, the cheerleader, the reporter that worked with Nancy, or Eddie, that are all in the Upside Down. And if he can make them slaves or some type of zombie, I kind of use the Mortal Kombat parallel, right? In MK10, for those that don't know, a little bit of spoilers for Mortal Kombat, but this game is 10 years old now, so I don't really feel bad. In MK9, Sindel kills all, like, a big chunk of the Earth Warrior Mortal Kombat characters, and the souls are given to the Netherrealm, and the Necromancer sorcerer Quan Chi repurposes their souls and makes them soldiers of the Netherrealm. So I'm wondering if they could do something similar with the Upside Down for Barb, the cheerleader, Eddie, those other characters.
So that kind of a theory. They're talking that basically because he was attacked and essentially killed by bats, that he would be turned into like a vampire type from D&D, and then he would eventually turn and he'd be one of the people to get a fatal blow onto Vecna. He'd be serving Vecna's purpose, then eventually he would turn and betray Vecna, and then that would be one of the people to get a death blow into him.
Interesting. Yeah, because as badass as the Demogorgons and the Demidogs are and everything like that, I think you need to use some manipulation of some of these people, right? Like, and that's, if you see a Barb or the cheerleader, that's going to mess some people up. For Max.
Psychological warfare. I still think we're going to find out that Max is trapped. Because Vecna, they kept making the line very clear that he absorbs his victims. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, not only does that tie into your theory about using them as slaves and using them as like little soldiers to send out, but it's also where I think Max is.
Yeah, I think Max, because that was going to be my next point, is I think you could use them as, you could have Earth people as well, right? So, and you, by the way, you could bring Bob back too. Bob could be someone as well, potentially. But I think Will could be used as an agent of chaos as well.
There's a next season's the last season, and I think it's gonna get a little crazy.
Because everyone's gonna be back, right? And yeah, you have Vecna there, but I think you need to kind of turn and make some of our heroes villains in some ways. Not by their own doing, but kind of against their own will, right? Use the manipulation, right? Of a Max, of a Will, of an Eddie, right? Because all these people line up and have the parallels to different people. And I mean, in this season too, Joel, you and I talked about this off air, but, and you've kind of seen this, like listen to the Ringers recap, and some characters definitely got way more shine and some characters really got sidelined in the season. And it's kind of like you talked about with the Boys, right? There's just so many characters that you have in the show. People are bound to be sidelined, but I thought not only did they get sidelined, they lost a lot. I think like Jonathan lost a lot. Like he really went back. Who else? Mike lost a lot. Like I think it got to the point, like even hearing some fan recaps and like, I think it got to the point if Mike died, people just didn't care anymore.
There are definitely a few people that I think you're at the point where it's like, yeah, no, if you die, you die. It's not the end of the world.
Dustin or Steve, right? I think those are the top. And I think a lot of people thought Steve was going to die.
Yeah. And Steve can still die at some point. But like the Duffer brother, It's the Duffer brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Duffer brother said, this is not Westeros. It's been a while since I've been.
Even though they said there was going to be a high body count, which I guess there was, 40 people died.
Well, I mean, city. You look at the wildest, one of the wildest death. I don't know why it's one of the wild ones, but when the basketball captain just gets split in two.
Yeah, man.
Just who?
Jeez.
Should have come. He's another person that Vecna could bring back in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's going to be.
That's what I want to see. I really want. It's not even because I'm theorizing that. I just think that would be cool. To see that,
it's going to be really interesting to see what direction they go. They said the Duffer brothers absolutely know how the last 30 minutes of the series play out.
Yeah,
it's now just building the rest of the journey to that last 30 minutes. So it's good to know that they.
Sorry, you also have all the 40 people you just killed in the city too. You could use.
Yeah. You wreaked chaos.
And I thought that was going to happen too, right? When they were in the prison, right? And the Mind Flayer got out, or the dust or whatever that was. And he's like, he's in them. I'm like, oh shit. He's taking over the Russian soldiers. So, and I think a lot of people thought that for a second, but it was just the demidogs. He went into the demidogs and reanimated those.
It's going to be really interesting to see what they end up. I'm really curious to see what direction they're going to go with the next season, because they clearly have a plan. How is that plan going to play out?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely more re-energized about Stranger
Things. Yeah, I would say the same. I give this season like an 8.5, an 8. Whereas season 3 was like a 6, maybe a 5.
I'd say this season was about an 8.
Mm-hmm.
It did well. It had some really good episodes. It had at least 2 really strong episodes.
Yeah, I mean, because even you and I were like, oh, Stranger Things is back. That's cool. But now, like, when Stranger Things 5 is out, I'm hyped. And I think you saw it too, right? With, you know, the service crashing. And Netflix crashing the day that they launched these 2 episodes, because I think the initial set of episodes we got for this season, it got people back. Season 3 was just, I don't know what they thought they were doing. And I guess in season 3, you did kind of see the controlling people side of things, right? With Billy and some of the others.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You saw they've done it before and they'll probably absolutely do it again.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess we haven't seen it from the reanimation of the dead people, which will kind of completely, like, because Will in some way is going to be an agent of Vecna.
He's definitely going to play a role in some form or fashion.
Yeah, and then it kind of escaped us, and I want some reader emails on this. Let me know. So Jonathan and Will have a really touching talk about, you know, whatever, and I didn't realize this, and there is a minor debate about that, if that was Will coming out or not. I wasn't sure if that was the case. I mean, that's great for the show. That means we have two characters of LGBT plus, you know, descent there. So that's great with him and Robin now. But I wasn't sure if that was the case or not, but I could definitely see it that way, especially the way that at times Will seemed like he was struggling with identity throughout the season.
Well, it's funny because the original Bible that they had for what would later become Stranger Things, that was always kind of talked about of Will being very much more of a flamboyant character. Mm-hmm. At the start, he was dressing in bright colors, and that's one of the reasons he got bullied. So I think that identity's always been there. They've just decided to go a little bit more subtle this time around. Mm-hmm. Whether it actually happens or not, we'll see where they decide to land.
Yeah.
For the character,
right? So yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the best tone there, Joel. It was a re-energized season. Season three was whatever. Season two was okay, but this was a re-energizing of the season, and I think now they're going into season five with a lot of hype behind it and a lot of people excited, and it just depends on the time they can get it out too, right? Like I hope for their sake it's not another 2 year wait. They're going to start writing in August, so I'm assuming that it will be another 2 year wait. Like, we probably won't get it till 2024, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's probably what will happen.
Yeah, so a little bit of a wait there. And for Netflix, like, I mean, if that's the way, I'm assuming that in 2024, that's when you're going to get Squid Game Season 2 and Stranger Things Season 4. So 2024 could be great for Netflix. It's just, those are two of your hot shows, right? The two shows that hit a billion. So next year, what's your premier show, Joel?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, Netflix will find ways to make things work, but it's, you know, and I think with Squid Game, for example, they didn't know it was going to be what it was going to be, right?
Oh, yeah, they had no idea.
So that's, I'll give them a little bit of a pass on that one. Stranger Things, I mean, and it comes down to the kids too, right? Like Millie Bobby Brown, I think has looked the most aged up now at this point, right? Like she's what, 19, 20 now? Just 18? I don't know.
Yeah.
But she's, you know, she's really grown up. Dustin isn't like the cute, awkward kid anymore, right? Like, I think that's the benefit for a Robin or a Nancy or a Steve. They were like in a perfect spot. They could play that middle age, like just about to go to college level teen. So they're good with that till like they're 27. For those other kids, it's getting to an interesting point where they don't look like they're 15 or 16 years old anymore.
No, and they're gonna have to get to this last season. And what was the Duffer Brothers, they were talking and they're like, they've got a big deal with Netflix is kind of letting them do whatever. Mm-hmm. They're doing The Talisman, which is the book that Lucas was reading towards Max when she was in the hospital.
Mm.
And they are doing a completely separate spin-off set within the Stranger Things universe, but not tied with any of the kids. So yeah. Probably something with the government or something along those lines. But right now the focus is on that last season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, great show. I mean, Lucas too. I thought Lucas had one of the best arcs this season, talking about characters growing. I thought Lucas really, really growed quite a bit as a character this season. Like he really, really growed. And Joyson Harper kind of, you know, figuring that kiss was, I think, it's like one of those kisses that everyone's been waiting for a while. Murray became a very lovable character, so that means Murray is definitely dying next year or whenever this season five happens. So, yeah, we'll kind of see how it all goes with the bleeding into the town now, with the Upside Down bleeding in. It's going to get interesting.
And they said, the Duffer Brothers said the final season will be set entirely in Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
So don't expect any grand traveling. And they said a lot of the original groupings and pairings that we saw in season one will be reunited. And that's how people will travel.
I wonder if that was always the plan to have them separately, or if COVID played a factor to that.
I feel like they may have. It's hard to say, but I feel like that was kind of the plan, to keep everyone separate, and final season you bring them all together like you had in season one.
It works because better.
That's the magic of the show is the characters interacting with each other, and the certain characters interacting with each other. So I think that's probably what they want to get back to, is having characters interact in a way.
There is definitely a ranking system, Joel, of the groups, right?
Yeah.
Like, I would probably go the Steve, Robin, Nancy, Dustin, Eddie group is probably number one for me.
Yeah.
And then the Russian prison is number two. And then outside of having 11, that group is like, is there something lower? Because I don't think that's even number three.
No, they're definitely going to have, it's very curious how they're going to, what they're going to do and how they're going to have characters tied in with each other.
Yeah, they got some work to do to make people care about Mike again. Will they get a lot more? Maybe they'll remember his birthday this time. It's like Junior with breakfast. The pizza guy. Can I just tell you, WWE does this a lot too, and maybe we'll talk about it on One Fall One Time, but I'm just so sick of this, like, it's a stoner guy. It's like, you know, weed is legal most places now. Like, it's just so passe, that character. I'm just kind of over that type of character, to be honest. I rolled my eyes. That guy was fine. He was a lovable character. But every single time he was on, I just kind of rolled my eyes at the cliche stoner character.
This is what, because for me, this is basically an homage to what you would see in the 80s. Yeah, I'd love to see it in the 80s. So, and that's where a lot of these type of characters like Argyle is like, oh yeah, that is what you would see in the 80s for a stoner character. So it makes sense that they're going, let's keep something within the 80s. And Argyle is just, again, he's a comic relief character, just a stoner. So that's kind of my
good point too, the 80s, Joel, like having the stereotypical guy character that was in the 80s. But they didn't go member very hard, right? Like they did in the past, right? Like, hey, it's Dragon's Lair. Hey, it's Ghostbusters. Hey, remember this soda? Remember this food? Like they started hitting on that really hard in season two and three. And I think it's in season three, too. I'm just glad they really stepped that back a little bit.
Yeah. They did a very good job balancing everything out.
Yeah, they did. All right. Well, Joel, thank you so much for joining us, talking about the boys and then Stranger Things finale. And now we head into the final season, like I said, of Better Call Saul.
It's exciting. It's best show on TV.
Yes, it is. All right, everyone. Until next time. Thank you, Joel. Let's get to the news.
You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network.